Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Glass, and I welcome you to the broadcast today, this last day of the week, Friday of the work week anyway. And I just pray that you've been blessed by this message I've been sharing these last, actually, several weeks on the Holy Spirit. And today we're going to conclude the teaching on the ways we can grieve the Holy Spirit. And we were on the sixth point, and that is we can grieve the Holy Spirit by grieving the children of men. In our own personal lives, if we have uncharitable thinking, well, sooner or later, what does the Word say? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we'll have uncharitable speaking, and that grieves the Holy Spirit. Anything that produces strife or anger or malice or discord, that's just counterproductive to the workings and the mission of the Holy Spirit. Christ prayed that we might be one, even as He was one with the Father. And in the 17th chapter of John, the Word says, this is Jesus praying, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also, which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Praise God. How confusing it must be for a sincere, inquiring soul who's seeking truth to be confronted with the discrepancies, the disagreements, the disunity of the Christian message. I've thought of that so many times over the years. Or a new Christian, you know, there's such a multiplicity of teaching out there. And, you know, I'm kind of simplistic. I don't tend to be terribly profound. But if we have one head, Jesus, if He's the head of the church and we have the mind of Christ, then ultimately, as we grow more and more in the Spirit, as we grow more to be like Jesus, as we do not allow our carnal nature and fleshly nature to overwhelm us, but we mortify the deeds of the body, then we're going to have His thoughts. I believe we're going to see, the watchman shall see eye to eye. He's not double-minded. He's not schizophrenic. We will have the mind of Christ, which means we'll be thinking the same way. Now, that doesn't do away with our individuality, but when it comes to the things of God, the ways of God, the principles of God, beloved, there's only one position, and that's how Jesus feels and how He thinks, right? Okay, having said that, let's go on. Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And to hinder this oneness is to grieve the Spirit by marring the unity of the body, which He's so eager to create and to maintain. 1 John, the second chapter, verse 8 says, whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Praise God. The Holy Spirit, beloved, is the comforter of the church. We must be careful to do nothing which would grieve or alienate or offend or discourage or frustrate the saints of God. Jesus said, you know, if you do whatever you've done to one of these, the least of my brethren, you've done unto me. In Acts, the 9th chapter, verse 31, the Word says, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, and they were multiplied. Praise God. Hallelujah. praise the Lord. In 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, verses 3 and 4, the word reminds us, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." So, beloved, let us not do anything that would bring a reproach to the Lord, anything that would upset or grieve His Holy Spirit. The purposes of God, the advancement of God, is not served by debate and argument. Isn't that true? 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 20, Paul says very clearly and explicitly, he was afraid to find debates, envyings, wraths, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, tumults. All that's of the flesh. All that's of the enemy. In 2 Timothy, the second chapter, verse 23, he wrote to Timothy, and he said, "Avoid foolish and unlearned questions, knowing that they do engender strifes." And the 2 Timothy in the second chapter, verse 16, and this is the Living Bible translation I'll share with you. There the word is translated, "Steer clear of foolish discussions, which lead people into the sin of anger with each other." That's quite of an interesting translation, but it makes it pretty clear why we should stay away from unlearned questions and strife, which will cause people to become angry with one another, to alienate them, to destroy relationships. So let's keep the bond of peace and love. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I want to now start to bring this teaching to a conclusion and kind of summarize some of the things that I've shared. The Holy Spirit edifies the church. We need to have the very same purpose. We are given the Holy Spirit so He can impart to us and to others the love of God. Romans, the 5th chapter, verses 3 through 5 say, "We glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us." So these are the functions of the Holy Spirit. He imparts the love of God to us. And that scripture reference is Romans, the 5th chapter, verses 3 and 5. And I want to turn now to Acts, the 9th chapter. And there, I've given that scripture before, but I would just like to read it again. Acts 9 and 31, the word of the Lord says, "Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria. They were edified, walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. They were multiplied." Praise God. So He edifies the church, He imparts the love of God, and He imparts hope. Romans, the 15th chapter, verse 13 says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." Galatians, the 5th chapter, verse 5 says, "For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith." And so He edifies the church, He imparts the love of God, He imparts hope, and He communicates joy to the saints. Aren't those wonderful functions of the Holy Spirit? It's my desire, my prayer to God is that I would appreciate the presence and the working of the Holy Spirit in my own personal life as never before, that I would be so aware of Him, that it's Him working in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure, to fulfill the Father's will, just as the Holy Spirit was there for Jesus. You know, Jesus didn't do the things that He did because He was the Son of God, but because He was the Son of Man anointed by the Holy Spirit. So let's look at this last point, communicating joy to the saints. Let me give you a couple scripture references there to validate what I'm saying. Romans, the 14th chapter, verse 17, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost." One of my favorite scriptures. And then Galatians 5:22. This is listed as the fruit of the Spirit, the personality of Jesus, if you will. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So in conclusion and in summary, again, we can grieve the Holy Spirit by unholy and profitless talk, by corrupt communication, by our mouth, by our tongue. We can grieve Him by what we say. Number two, by ignoring His presence. Number three, by rejecting His teaching. Number four, by conniving at things which He hates, by agreeing with or tolerating or winking at, looking over the things which He hates, which of course is sin. Number five, by serving God in our own strength. And number six, by grieving the children of God. Now, that's the way we can grieve the Holy Spirit, or we can choose to bring joy to the heart of God by righteous living, by encouraging words, by a contrite spirit, and by offering the precious fruit of our lips to Him as a sacrifice of praise, by acknowledging Him that He is our strength. It's His anointing, it's His gifts, His working within us, that we will learn to love and appreciate as never before the people of God. These are the ways we give pleasure to the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for this message. You know, I hope the listening audience has been blessed as much as I have been by the richness of the role of the Holy Spirit. How wonderful, Holy Spirit, You are. And we thank You for Your presence in our lives. And Holy Spirit, right now, I'm asking You through Your power, which is unlimited and all resourceful. You're so creative and so imaginative, and You have wonderful ways of bringing truth to us. Holy Spirit, I pray that You would take the truth that I have shared on these broadcasts and make the work, the person, the reality of the Holy Spirit in the lives of Your people such a profound experience that their lives will be revolutionized. I pray that for myself. I pray for every listening member of the audience who is joining their heart now with me in faith. I claim that for us, Lord, that we can walk in all pleasing before You in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that You may receive all the glory. For we will cast our crowns before You one day, Lord. Amen and amen. Praise God. Well, it truly has been a joy to minister to you this week, and I pray that you'll be able to tune in next week at the same time, and we'll just see what the Lord has for us next week. It's always an adventure. I'm not certain how the Lord leads, but I pray that as you join me, you also will be blessed. God bless you. The announcer will give you our mailing address. I look forward to just receiving those letters. I know people don't take the time to write, but write me a letter. Drop me an email. Let me know you're listening. God bless you. Till next week, this is Sister Glass saying may God's best for
you. Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606. Or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.